This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Hello, this is Robert Warner from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. We are temporarily meeting at the Ground Floor Farm, located at 100 Martin Luther King Boulevard in Stuart, Florida. I want to invite you to join me this Sunday at 9:30 a.m. as Pastor McLean continues the series on prayer, how to know and accomplish the will of God every day in your life. Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." For more information, call 772-220-0602.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Good afternoon. This is Coach Tony Bishop with Spirit of Prophecy, Raising a Standard. I'm privileged to be again with Bill and Michelle, Nicole, and Pastor Jonathan. A quick update on Pastor Gene and Pastor Donna. Pastor Gene is out of the hospital. He's at home. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Praise God.
And it's been a very long, arduous journey for Pastor Gene and for Pastor Donna because they are a team. And so we're thankful that the Lord has been faithful to them, even in the midst of the difficult times that they've been experiencing. But again, we know that God is faithful. And I would just ask that you would continue to pray for them. And we're looking forward to their return as soon as it's in God's divine providence to bring them back in. But today we want to talk again about one of my favorite subjects. It's one of my favorite subjects, Bill, because I know it works.
Yes, for sure.
I know it works, Jonathan.
It does work.
I know it works, Michelle.
Absolutely.
So we can never talk about this enough.
No.
So if you missed out last week, well, you're just in time to get a fresh dose of something because we're going to reiterate a lot of the things that we talked about last week. And as time permits, we're going to share a little bit more. So now that I have you in suspense, you're wondering, what is he going to talk about? We're going to talk about the subject of prayer.
Amen.
Prayer Amen. Works. I'm a living testimony to that. I have prayed when I was in foxholes. I mean, I've never been in the military or whatever, but I've been in my own foxholes. I've prayed when I was in jail. I've never been in prison or jail before, but you know what I'm saying. And I have had to pray at all times. And the Bible says, one of the great scriptures, it says that we ought to always pray, Luke 18:1. And we should pray without fainting.
Ceasing, right.
2 Thessalonians 5
That's
says
right.
that we should pray without ceasing.
That's right.
So we're going to get this show going on. We're going to talk a little bit about prayer, a lot about prayer, hopefully. Mm-hmm. And I want to start off by giving the one of my favorite scriptures that really calls for meditation about prayer. And it's, I'm sure that many of you are familiar with it. It's in James 5:16. Mm-hmm. James 5:16. What, you have it. I lost my page. Do you have it there? But anyway, what it says, that we, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. Wow. Did I say that correctly? I don't want to get ahead of myself. The faithful, effectual prayer of the righteous availeth much. That's the gist of it, right?
The effectual, fervent prayer
okay.
of the righteous.
Mm-hmm. But here's one of the things that we really have to also consider. Just before you hear that wonderful statement, it tells us that we are to confess our sins.
Absolutely.
Or confess our fault one to another. And the result is that in doing so, the effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous will avail much. So I want to quickly just talk about, what is it to be righteous? Jonathan, you've been a pastor for many years. Why don't you explain that a little bit to us?
Well, none are righteous apart from the work of Christ in our life.
Amen.
There is no one that is righteous apart from God's work.
Amen.
Sometimes people believe that out of a very sincere and definite pursuit to be good, you know, desire to be good, work to be good, try to be good, endeavor to do good things, that somehow or another on the scale of sin and righteousness, that somehow or another by all these good works, that it might measure up to help them out with their load of sin. However, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but the wages of sin is death. And so there's only one way. It's the gift of God through which we can have eternal life. There is no righteousness apart from being born again, having a transformed heart and life, being surrendered to the Lordship of Christ, and then we actually become the righteousness of God, because the scripture tells us that Jesus became sin for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Wow. So it's fair to say that righteousness is a gift.
It is the most awesome gift that is available to any person. It's available to everyone.
Amen. Not an understatement in any stretch of the imagination. So,
and I just want to add, in Psalm 33:5, it says, he loves righteousness, speaking of the righteousness of his son, mm-hmm. Jesus, and judgment, and the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And this righteousness, obviously, as you just said, Pastor, is freely given to the believer, the believing sinner, upon their faith. And upon their faith in Christ on the cross. And we talk about that in Ephesians 2:8-9, right? Mm-hmm. So this all goes back to the compassionate heart of God with prayer. You know, it's all based back on the faithfulness and compassionate heart of God to meet us where we stand.
So, Bill, if I'm sitting here and listening to this broadcast and I'm hearing someone talk about being righteous, and I'm thinking, well, you people don't know me. I mean, I'm anything but righteous. I'd like to be, but I'm not just sure how to become what you're talking about. Can you kind of help me along a little bit there?
Yeah, you yourself cannot become righteous unless Christ is in you. Then you obtain his righteousness and only his righteousness. We have none in and of ourselves. If we think we do, then we suffer from pride. And one of the biggest things that you can block your relationship with God is through pride, thinking that you can actually do something on your own. If it were not for God, you could not take your next breath. the world would not be here if it were not for God. He is the one that's holding it together, making it operate. So the step number one is to get rid of your pride. Rely totally and fully on God. God, through the Holy Spirit, will direct you. He will tell you what you're supposed to do next. Your will through Him, so that you can shine and give all the glory back to God. We deserve none of it, but you see people honored by God, but He will honor you and allow you to be recognized for doing good things when He chooses. That's His love for you, and that's extremely important. I think one of the most difficult things that I still to this day have with is I'm not quite sure God loves me as much as He does. So that's like a day-to-day struggle. And He does. He cannot love you any more than He already does. You have to draw closer and closer to Him to see that enormous love that He has. Because that's what it's all about. Your personal relationship with God. It is not a religion. It's nothing but that personal, intimate relationship with Jesus, with Yeshua, through the Holy Spirit. He's the one that you can call on anytime, anywhere, any place. There's nothing special about where you can speak to the Holy Spirit.
So, Michelle, I hear him saying that it's really about being rightly related to God. Mm-hmm. That is what makes us righteous. Is that correct?
Yes. And to me, I like to, we're talking about prayer today.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime I want to talk about the relationship with God, I think we have to base it back to our, how we have to comprehend it as humans, because it's so hard, you know, that He's such a magnificent God and that He created this entire universe, and we can't really wrap our hands around that. So I feel that we have to bring it all back to looking at it almost like on our little finite area, which is as a family. So to me, and since we are on the subject of prayer, I want to go back to that subject. We have to relate like we do in a family unit. Okay? Now, as a father, when you birth a child, you want a relationship with that child. And you yearn every day to communicate with that child on some level. And I don't know if you've all felt that way, but when your child gets to be a teenager and all of a sudden, if you had them, and next thing you know, they're going up in their room and they're on the computer, and next thing you know, they're not coming down to the family dinner as much, where you've broke bread and you communicated and you discussed life issues.
Right.
You know, you have a yearning for that still. And yet that child starts getting pulled by the world. And, you know, peer pressure and things outside start to draw them away from that. And of course, it's our responsibility to pull them back in and keep them on our harness as best we can in this world. But think of that feeling. Think of that feeling when that detachment happens. As a young baby, that child needs everything from you. And then what happens is they become a little more independent and a little more independent, and then next looking to fly the coop by themselves. Well, I think with the Christian walk, what happens is, you know, we do the same thing. We struggle with that. We try to do things on our own strength, and we start to pull away, you know, not to be dependent on God. And so, you know, to me, that relationship, we've got to realize how that really hurts God. It's not that He needs to hear, you know, what's going on. He knows everything already. But He yearns for that because He does love us so much.
Tony, so, if I could just insert something here.
Sure.
We're talking about prayer, but in righteousness. In 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins.
Yes.
This is prayer.
Yes, yes.
The prayer that God is looking for from every person who is not relational that we pray, believing in God, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so it doesn't say if we join a church.
That's right.
It doesn't say if I believe this church's catechism. It says, if I confess to God the Father, I don't need a go-between. If I confess, acknowledge, I'm a sinner.
Yes.
I need a Savior.
That's
and this is the basic beginning of prayer. And God hears every heart that cries out and says, God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Come into my life. And of course, in 1:7, it says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, he's in the truth, we continue to have this fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth. That's a present active indicative. It continues to clean us, cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That's righteousness. The unrighteousness is cleansed, and we remain righteous as we walk with the Father by the Spirit.
Amen.
So, pastors, if there's anybody out there that wants salvation, that needs to be saved and needs a relationship with Christ, how do they go about that? Is it difficult, complex? Do you have to do 15 different things to get to that point? What do you have to do?
Well, you know, I think, Michelle, you alluded to it when you were talking about having a relationship. We all have, in fact. We're talking about having a relationship with God and understanding that it's about communicating with God just as you are. We don't have to do, as you were just saying, Jonathan, we don't have to be members of a church, and we don't have to do this and do that and do the other.
It's not earthly organizations. We're not talking about an earthly organization.
Right.
No. Amen.
So,
no.
We're talking about a heavenly adoption.
That's right.
So it's a matter of humbling oneself, acknowledging the fact that apart from God, that we are sinners. And I want to go back to the verse that I was sharing, James 5, 16. The effective, effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man will avail much. If we have that relationship with him, we can communicate with God, understanding that in the midst of our brokenness and sinfulness, that we acknowledge the fact, as you said, Jonathan, in 1 John 1:9, we acknowledge the fact that we are sinful people, and we ask God for forgiveness. God allows us to become righteousness through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross. That is so hard to understand when you just talked about you don't know if God, he loves you much or more than you think he should and so on. It's hard to believe that a God who created the heavens and the earth, all of the beautiful, wonderful people of the world, and we always try to compare ourselves one with other people, and I wish I could be like them. But God loves you just the way you are.
He meets us right in the place we are today.
He loves you just where you are.
How you've done it in the past. You know, he's such a forgiving God.
And so you do not have to clean yourself up, per se. You don't have to do this and to do that. All you need to do is to confess that you are hopelessly lost without God. Confess the fact that you need him. And I prayed that prayer many years ago. And there's over the years, I've prayed that prayer over and over again. But there was a point in time many years ago when I prayed it, it was sealed. And it's not based on how I feel. It's not based on what someone else thinks about me. It's all based on what God thinks about me. And because I have a relationship with him, he gives me the privilege to be able to communicate. He gives you, anyone, the privilege to call unto his name at any time, any place, under any circumstances, and we can be assured that he hears us, especially if we are his children. He hears us. So the exciting thing is just to realize that your fervent, effectual prayers, your prayers are effectual because of the fact that you continue to pray, that you continue to call out to him. And I was told that many, many years ago, and I have found it to be true, God does hear prayers. There isn't any prayer that you can pray that God is going to be sitting up in the heavens and he's going to be wringing his hands and say, oh, Jonathan, that's a big one right there. I'm not sure how I'm going to deal with that. I'll get back to you. No, he won't get back to you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And so my hope is that, as you were asking the question about salvation, keep it simple. Mm-hmm. Understand the fact that God is there with open arms. He's calling you. He's calling me. He's calling a world to come into a world of prayer, individuals to develop a relationship with him and allow him, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to minister to you through his word and through the things that his very son, Jesus Christ, did on a cross for you, so that you can know that you can have a relationship with him. And by having a relationship with him, you become rightly related to God. And boy, when you have God, mm-hmm. when he's first and foremost, wow. Yes. Wow, wow, wow.
And beautiful, you know what I find happen. With people too, Pastor, is that they're afraid. You know, once they become a Christian and then they mess up once, they're like, oh, I've ruined it. That's it. And that's not our God. We have a forgiving, loving God. And he'll continue to mold us and develop us as time goes on. But it's certainly not a place that we should be pulling back from God. That's when we should get more intensely into prayer, because we don't want to be doing anything on our own. Nothing. You know, we don't want it to be doing out of our own works.
Well, the enemy would love to discourage us.
He'd love to discourage us, right?
Yeah.
So take that step forward to accept Christ into life, and don't be discouraged, because the enemy will come. The minute you say that prayer and you decide to turn your heart over, the enemy is going to come full force, because that's his job, to keep us away. Amen. So that's an important thing.
But that's where in Christ you do become a new creation.
That's right.
And you continue to become.
That's Amen. Right.
And he continues to create new in you. You know, it's a becoming, yeah. A new creation that takes place in our life. I was, I came upon a bunch of friends. This was within my first 24 hours in Christ. I was born again, 15 years old. And, you know, an evening gathering. And the next day, I pull up the Hope Sound Beach. Here's all these kids that I hung with. And so I'm trying to share with them. I mean, I'm ready to explode with the joy of the Lord in my life. So I'm sharing mm-hmm. with them. Well, they started mocking me and laughing. McLean, we know you, you know, how long is this going to last? You know, you got religion, right? And I got ticked off. I got so angry that I cussed them out. And so now I just shared that I had become a new Christian. They're experiencing all of this, right? I mean, this is the flesh and the spirit. Right. It all happening at once,
war,
right?
At right. War.
So I'm like, at this point, I'm just totally embarrassed. I'm on my motorcycle, so I'm leaving. And when I got to the stop sign, the Holy Spirit spoke to me like a cannon and said, now go back and ask them all to forgive you.
Wow.
Now, I thought the witness was when I told him I'd accepted Christ.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit said, the witness is going to be when you ask them to forgive you, because I never ask anybody to forgive me. And they knew that there was a change in my life because I was the one that wouldn't back down. I was too stupid to know when to quit. I would fight anybody older than me. I didn't care. But God changes us, and that change is a progressive. Mm-hmm. It happens in a moment. And then there's a progression of ongoing change as we grow into the image of Christ.
So yeah, that's an excellent example of pride.
Yeah.
thank you.
Yeah, well acquainted with that, Bill. Well acquainted.
I've never had that problem.
It's very humbling, but you know, the Lord is able to work through all of our weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And he really wants his strength to be seen, not ours. So, amen. So
I'll tell you how powerful the Lord is. It's just how much he cares about the little things. When I first got saved, I was doing makeup for the Universal for the movie industry years ago. And you know that's a fast-paced industry.
Sure.
So I got saved in my early 20s. And this was very short time into when I got saved. I mean, maybe a month or so. And we were doing a set down in Florida here. In fact, I lived in New York at the time. And I got let out for a while, and I went to the beach, and I'm sitting there. And it happened to be spring break, where all the kids were out. And you know what goes on at spring break. It was, you know, nothing but horror.
Right.
And I'm sitting there. And when I left the movie scene, And I was walking out the door. Somebody handed me a packet and said to me, go, when you get to the beach, relax. Open this up, and it's a little gift. So I opened it up, and of course it was drugs.
Mm.
And I'm looking at this thing. Now, here's how Satan is sitting, like, oh, what is this stuff? Well, I've never done it. How bad could it be? What could go on, right? Next thing I know, God is so faithful. Two girls come from Christ for the Nation,
right?
And they were on the beach trying to get the students to understand and pull them away and witness to them. So the funny part is, of course, I told them the whole story. I'm like, I cannot believe this. You know, like when he's knocking at the door and he wants to, and he wants to keep. So they made me go at night. Not that they made me. They asked me if I would go and speak to the kids because they were getting discouraged. So I go, I think I'm going to talk to like a small group of kids, 5, 8, whatever. I get there. It's like a gymnasium full of hundreds and hundreds of kids. They made me get up at the podium and tell them what my walk was like. And I said, you know, at this point, this is what I'm going to tell you. I think I was driving the car and Jesus was chasing that car, trying to catch me and knocking at the door outside the window and knocking. And finally, I let him in the car, but I only let him in the back seat. And I still was driving the car. Eventually, I let him in the front seat. But after today, when he did what he did, I'm giving him the steering wheel.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
That's how it
Amen.
Went.
So, you know, in Matthew, we just talked about if you have, it says to confess your faults one to another in James 5. Matthew also tells us that if you're making an offering, if you have a gift and or you're going to the altar, so to speak, and you have something against your neighbor, if there is anything that is separating you from God, which is what sin is in short, anything that's keeping you from having those lines of communication with God open, it says that you are to leave the altar, leave your gift, and go back and clear it up first.
Clear it up.
And, you know, there are so many people that when you talk to them, I have a good neighbor friend. He says, "Well, God's mad at me. He doesn't listen to me." And sometimes some of the things that he says about other people, you would, or sometimes even the things that he says about himself, is not the way God sees them, or the way that his perspective. Sometimes what I'm trying to say is our perspective as to how God sees us is so much different from how we or other people may see. So we have to make sure that we keep those lines of communication open so that if there is anything that we have that is blocking that communication, anything such as sin, when you deliberately sin, and I'm amazed as to how many people that I tend to run into. I'm talking about Christians now, people who profess to be Christians. They're bitter, they're angry, they're mean, and many of the things that they do or say, that's not of God.
They can't wait at a light for 5 minutes without beeping the person through or and being then, on a grocery line.
And then they wonder why God isn't answering their prayers.
Yeah.
It is so important that you keep the vessel clean as best as you know how. Right. One of my favorite prayers is, "Search me, O God," Psalm 119 or 139. "Search me, O God, and know my heart, and show me." And I'm sad to say that he does that quite often. He shows me when I ask him, and I realize that I am a work in progress. He's got a long ways to go with me. But thank God for his love and for his patience. So if you're a person out there, and if you really want to experience the power of God at work in your life, you can start that through prayer. But it's also important that you have that proper relationship with God, that you allow God to work freely through you and allow the Holy Spirit of God to speak to you. And that requires a time of being alone with God, meditating with God, and trying to see, God, how would you have me to deal with this difficult person, such as a neighbor or relationship that I'm dealing with that isn't going well, don't think that you have all the answers and that you're going to point your little spiritual finger at someone else and, and tell them what they need to do. Examine your own self first and ask God to forgive you for anything that you may be doing, and don't be too proud that you cannot go to a person, even if you think that you're in the correct. But if there is that conflict with someone, be the bigger person by saying, I'm really sorry that we have this conflict going on. Ask for forgiveness, even if you're not sure what you're asking for forgiveness for. And that's where the lines of communication comes in. And that's when God is able to heal and to do great and mighty things.
And that's what salvation is all about. You just need to ask. Now, you've heard people give a little bit of their testimony. They got saved at 15, one at 22. And I don't know if you're sure your driver's license date is correct, young lady.
That's my husband but asking anyway, me that.
And Tony, also a long-time salvation. I want to reemphasize, if you want Christ to come into your heart and be saved, there are no qualifications. You don't have to be, I'm old. You don't have to be old, young, tall, short. He will accept you exactly as you are. Tattoos, no tattoos, whatever lifestyle you have led. So I'm asking you again to simply sit quietly, but as soon as you can, ask Christ into your heart. That's all you have to do. Repent of your sins and you have salvation. And God will take you on the greatest roller coaster ride you could ever imagine. So please do that. Do not hesitate. If you need help doing that, find somebody you trust. Find a pastor, somebody, anybody, to listen to you, to help you do that. Okay, please do that.
Bill, that's why important. Don't you lead in that prayer right now? Because people are listening, and we still have more prayer to talk about. But this is the foundational starting point with God.
Yes, it is.
Dear Father, I ask that you accept all the prayers that you are about to hear from the people out there who do not yet know you as a loving God. And if you would like this salvation, the prayer of the sinner is very simple and straightforward. I ask all of you to say to God, God, please come into my heart. Enter my heart, and I repent of all the sins that I've done. You can cover them all, Father. So as you come into my heart, I will feel a change. The change is immediate. So ask that right now of the Father to come into your heart. He will be there. And if he does that, and you have asked, please let us know. It is so, so important that we know that you have done that, because discipleship is also important. We want to support you. We want to love you as much as a human can love you, but nowhere near how God can love you. So we ask that you accept all of these sin, these prayer of salvation, to accept the repentance of sin, Father, right now for all of those who have prayed to you in any way they needed to.
Amen. So, Michelle, you said that you gave your life to the Lord when you were 15 or so?
No, my early 20s.
Early 20s, sorry.
I was raised in a, you know, traditional church, and I was questioning at the time being excommunicated if you got a divorce. So I was in a situation where I was going through a divorce, and I always questioned going through the particular denomination I was in why my parents would send me to church and then not be with me. And obviously their answer was because my mother had gotten a divorce and remarried in a young age, that that particular denomination wouldn't allow her to, because she was excommunicated. So I had a really strong pull with the Lord, because my grandmother was like Mother Teresa. She dragged me to church at 6 a.m. in the morning, but then she did the things that made the difference, which was after she went to church, which I didn't understand because it was in a different language, she would take me from house to house to house, and we would start to make a pot of soup for the person that was ill. Mm. We would clean a house for the person that couldn't move. We would garden this little patch in Brooklyn of grass that was in front of a flat. And I saw her heart. I saw the needs that she met. And, you know, she was a godly woman. She wore one black dress, and that was it. It didn't matter how much you gave her. She wouldn't move out of this little teeny apartment in Brooklyn, no matter what. And I saw the importance of the of what she was passing on to me. And I didn't want to be separated from God's love. Mm. And that she showed me.
Well, that's
she
awesome.
She showed me, yeah. So anyway.
So, Bill, I was wondering, can you give an example of, in your, since you're an old guy now, you say?
Old guy. Can you, older guy, yes.
Well, you said old, so I'm, but can you give an example of a time in your life where you prayed and you know that God heard your prayer and he answered, and what did that feel like to you?
Yeah, short of a long testimony, my wife now knows all of the details, but when I was in high school, my father died, and I will tell you, I made the largest mistake of my life, and I walked away from God. I was angry at him, an enormous mistake, and I walked away from him for a long, long time until my 40s. Please don't ever do that. It's not God's doing when horrible things like that happen. And I met my current wife now, and she said, what are you all about? Are you saved? Are you in a relationship with God? And this pig-headed, prideful man said, why would I want to be in a relationship with a God who does those terrible things? Mistake. Second big mistake. Terrible. So she led me through all of that very patiently, because I was doing some really stupid kinds of things, nothing illegal or anything like that. And she brought me to a very, very good Bible church called Smithtown Gospel. Excellent little church. And yeah, I do remember the moment where it actually started. I'm sorry. And it started when you walked into the church, and there was a sign there that said, welcome home.
Wow. That's beautiful.
So you sort of knew that you were in the right place. And then I think that day or the next day or very shortly thereafter, I accept Christ into my heart, which is an enormous life-changing event. You will become emotional. You will appreciate what happens to you from that moment on.
Amen. Jonathan, can you tell us, you're a pastor. You've been a pastor for many years now, and you gave your life to the Lord when you were 15. What are some of the things that you can recall over your ministry and your own personal relationship with the Lord? Some of the prayers that God has answered and how he has sustained you over the years?
Well, you know, talking to God is like, it really is just opening your heart up and being honest, transparent, and understanding that God knows your thoughts before you even speak them. Mm-hmm. He knows everything that I have need of before I can communicate it, better than I could communicate it. And as a new believer, I was just full of all kinds of questions and thoughts and all kinds of excitement. And in those early days, I found that God showed up in some ways that were miraculous. And I didn't understand that at that time, God was wanting to demonstrate in my life that it was more than a fire insurance policy. Mm-hmm. Being born again was not just about saying, okay, well, I believed on the Lord, I received him in my life, now when I die, I'm going to go to heaven and be with God. No, prayer is about interacting, mm-hmm. responding, communicating, listening, and hanging out
yes.
with God here, wherever you live, living God's presence. Talk about, I can't get away from this. It's a presence of God. Mm-hmm. And so I was blessed, Tony. I grew up in an environment where prayer was a major part of the Hope Sound Christian Church community that I grew up in, that Christian school community. And I just believed everyone that was born again got up at 4 o'clock and went to 5 o'clock prayer meeting. I believed that was normal. And now I know it's quite a ways from being normal, you know, for many people. But it was a good discipline in the early days. And as a kid, I was the only kid there. You know, so I would go in at 5 o'clock and there's all the mostly older people, mostly retired people that's in this gathering. Well, it was during those days, you know, I was a motorcycle rider, and I had really done something stupid back to the Pride, and was in a competition that I put together myself, ended up with compound fractures and my leg, and so...
Evel Knievel. I never knew you were Evel Knievel, Pastor.
I did some stupid things. So, anyhow, this was in Belgrade. It was at a mission, and I'd been out witnessing that day and just did something really stupid. And kids, you know, we're betting each other who could jump off the highest point. Well, I just won. I went all the way to the top, and I jumped from the highest point and, you know, compound fractures with my leg. Well, I was in Belgrade in the hospital, and, you know, I'm laying there. My bones are out saying hello to the world, and they're trying to figure out what to do with me because my ankle is blown apart because I landed on a concrete slab. So my heel is blown apart in pieces. My bones are broken and sticking out of my leg. And they're like, well, we can't set this. Your heel, it's a mess. You need to go back. You're going to have whatever, traction, whatever. So the pain was excruciating. I mean, it was just unbelievable. And the only transport was my father's station wagon, which a lot of us had in those days. And so the ride from Belgrade to Stuart to Mart Memorial was a bit of a drive and a few bumps between here and there. And this was my prayer as I'm laying in the back, you know, of this car. We're heading back for Stuart, Mart Memorial. And I said, God, I don't even understand why this happened. You know, I'm thinking that, you know, maybe God should protect me from my stupidness, my insanity. And yet, I'm kind of crying out to God. I wasn't blaming God, but I was saying, God, I don't know why this happened. You know that I gave my life to you, and now what am I going to do? I can't walk. What am I going to be able to do? And so then the thought came to me, God hears me when I'm praying.
Yes.
He could do something miraculous.
Yes, he can.
And so I began to say, well, God, I believe that you could heal my leg. You know, I believe you could do this. And so I had a Holy Ghost visitation. Now, I can only explain it that way because it was like the fire of God. I'm 15 years old. I don't know anything about anything other than, you know, I'm born again and I'm crying out to God and I'm laying in the back. And this warmth, it was like oil. It was like the greatest hug that I'd ever had in my life. It was the strength of God that just began to flow from my feet to my head. And it was just like going back. I didn't know this was just the Holy Spirit. And so the next day, Dr. Termail, who was my doctor here at Mart Memorial, he sticks up into the little, you know, you've seen in where the orthopedics are looking at your bones. He sticks mine up from Belgrade on one side. And he says, boy, you're in a mess. We have to take some new pictures. So, you know, and he's trying to be nice and work with this kid. So they take all these new x-rays. And then afterwards, he sticks up the new x-rays. He looks at the x-rays from Belgrade. And he just turned to me and said, what in the world happened to you from there to here? Mm. I said, why? What happened? Because I'm still in this this balloon splint, and I still have pain, and my toes are swollen, and I don't know what happened. You know, I'm not a doctor. I can't tell anything's happened. I knew that God had visited me. I knew the fire of God. Something had went through my body. He said, well, let me tell you what happened. He said, let me show you, which I didn't understand what he's showing me. But he said, all of these bones that were just fractured and blown apart that could not be set have somehow come together.
Amen.
Wow. And now what praise would have been God. Months of traction has totally changed and everything is aligned. It looks like someone aligned all these bones. He said, I have no explanation for it. What happened to you? He asked me again. the Holy Spirit saying, tell him, tell him, tell him.
Tell him.
I said, Doctor, I'll tell you what happened. I cried out to God last night as I was being transported from Belgrade to Stuart. And so I told him the story, told him what happened. He said, well, I have no explanation for it, so yours is as good as any. I'll take it. And so that was part of my early journey with God in prayer. And so, you know, God cares about everything.
Yes, mm-hmm. He does.
And God loves to show up and show off in our lives.
And so you just alluded to one of my favorite scriptures on prayer, Philippians 4:6. Uh-huh. Be careful for nothing. You just said God cares about everything. And He does.
And also, Psalms 46:10 is the one, be still and know that I am God.
Yes.
And the word still in Latin means to vacate. Right. And that's the word we get for our vacation in the English language. So what it means is take a rest. Let Him do what He can do. And so we need to draw back at times and be still so that God can be God. Because we're still on our own energy, unfortunately. So God gives us that permission.
Yes, He does.
And we need to take it. We need to take it.
Chill out.
So as I was, one of the reasons why Philippians 4:6 has become a favorite verse of mine, I have gone through many experiences like I'm sure you out there in radio land have gone through as well. And there have been times when you wondered if God was really listening, if He cared. And yet, as I've been reading through the scriptures over the years, regardless of how I feel or what I think, God has continuously affirmed in His word that, yes, He does care.
He does.
He does hear your prayers.
He does.
And He answers them according to His will. And I'll just be honest. There are those times when I thought that maybe God didn't like me. I could talk about some of the things that I experienced in growing up as a kid and some of the abuse and how I was maligned oftentimes, and even as an adult.
Right.
You know, you think that, well, God, this isn't fair. What's going on? What they're doing to me? What they're saying about me? And God, it isn't fair what I'm doing to myself,
right?
You know, and that type of thing. But God has been so faithful in terms of answering those prayers. And Philippians 4:6, as I said, be careful for nothing. You can go to God for anything. And I don't understand how prayer works all the time, but I know it works.
Absolutely.
And I know it works, absolutely, especially for those who love Him and are called according to His purposes. And as you couldn't explain how your leg when you were 15 or so was the x-rays and that type of thing, the peace of God, the seventh verse of Philippians 4, and the peace of God which surpasses all human understanding, all human comprehension, it is what keeps your heart and mind in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I know that there are many people out there, because I talk to people all the time and I share some of my struggles with people all the time. I just want to encourage you, if you invite Christ into your life, if you haven't done that already, and you develop a relationship with Him, you can be assured that He hears you. He will answer your prayers, and He will never, as it says in Hebrews, He will never leave you, nor will He ever forsake you. He is a God who cares so much for you that He gave His only begotten Son to die on the cross for you and for me. Amen. Not just for the world, but God is a personal God.
That's right.
And so we can communicate with Him on a personal level. There's nothing that you will say that it will ever make God angry because you said it, because you thought it. God is a loving God. And, you know, we have this thing coming up, Bill, pretty soon, this prayer, National Day of Prayer, and we're going to be doing some things in this particular area. So I wonder, Jonathan, if you could talk a little bit about that, since you've been one of the people who have been trying to spearhead it.
I would like to mention that, because it's coming up on May the 3rd, which is next, it's coming up Thursday, so this next week. And so it's going to be very soon. And there are many great events that are part of the Day of Prayer. Some churches do a breakfast, some churches do a lunch. And here in Stuart, at the gazebo, there will be a luncheon gathering. And this has gone on for many years. Tremendous opportunity to gather there in prayer. But for the region, I want to mention what's going on for the region. There's a Treasure Coast gathering of believers. This includes Martin County, St. Lucie County, and anybody that wants to come. But it's a regional family prayer gathering. This is not a performance of prayer. It's not to be a production of prayer. We're not asking that people come together and listen to someone pray. But we're inviting the body of Christ, pastors, leaders, the entire body of Christ, to come together to humble ourselves and pray. And this will be at the St. Lucie County Civic Center in Port St. Lucie, right on US 1. It's fairly close to Stuart. Everyone knows where it is. It will be outdoors, Bill. And there will be chairs. We're going to have 1,000 chairs there. There's going to be a lot of people at this event. And this is going to be a public opportunity for us to cry out to God, to just humble ourselves and pray. And so there will be worship. This will start at 6:30. There will be worship. And I'm very excited that we have Morningside Church, Jim Sunderworth, their worship team's going to be leading us in familiar songs, and that's going to be a tremendous time of worship, leading into the time of prayer. And again, this, we're asking everyone to come. Come, bring your children, bring your babies, bring your teenagers, I'm bringing Papa. Papa's 93, almost 94. And let's do what the Word of God tells us that Israel did on several occasions, when because of their tremendous need as a nation, they sought God. We as a nation are gifted with some great opportunities right now, but we also are facing some great opposition right now.
Yes.
We need the hand of God. We need God to move on the Treasure Coast in our nation, Tony. And yes. So please come. That's the 3rd of May, Thursday, next week, Port St. Lucie Civic Center. It's going to be at 6:30 in the evening, and it will run about an hour, maybe an hour and a half.
And Bill,
and everybody needs to come. You don't have to be saved, unsaved.
That's right.
Of any particular religion.
That's right.
You can be an atheist. Please come and talk to us. Tell us why you're an atheist. We would love to have a discussion, a warm, open discussion with anybody and everybody who comes. So don't be reluctant to come. You got long hair, short hair. I need a haircut real bad, and I'm going there. So please come and talk to us.
And Bill, you're going to be bringing Pastor Gene, and it's going to be a much easier for you to do that now that he's home and out of the hospital. But what an amazing God we have.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
All of those weeks that Pastor Gene and Pastor Donna have been laboring, dealing with these issues. And the many prayers that have gone up, the Bible again says the prayers of the righteous, I'm paraphrasing, the prayers of the righteous availeth much.
And Tony, this is not a denominational event.
No.
We are not there to talk about egos and logos. This is not to talk about my church or your church. This is to seek the heart of God. Mm. And so we are not there showing off any one of our own perspectives so we can try to pull a crowd to us. We are seeking the face and the heart of God. That is all this is about, and together we're going to lift up Christ.
And so 2 Chronicles 7:14,
that's it
in a nutshell.
That's the foundation.
Who are called by name will humble themselves and call out to him. He will heal the land, and we're believing God to do great and mighty things.
Amen.
In spite of us, if he has to, that he will bring healing to our land, to the Treasure Coast and all up and down the eastern seaboard of Florida. So,
in order to heal our land, We start with what? One person, ourselves. And in 1 Peter 5:6-7, it says, humble yourself that God will lift you
up.
Yes,
yes.
So
for you old timers out there who do pray on a regular basis or should pray even more, I suggest that you go to Jesus' teaching on prayer, which is Matthew 6:5-8. Mm-hmm. And if you follow these guidelines, your prayer may be more effective. It certainly will be Jesus' guidelines. And it says, and when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of man. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But you, the sincere believer, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father which is in secret. And your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Mm-hmm. But be not you therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. And that's a pretty good summation of a lot of things that have been said in the last two broadcasts. Prayer does not inform God about anything at all. It involves you in that personal relationship with that loving God, and that is what it's all about. And he will instruct you. He will lead you in your will for him. Just like Pastors Gene and Donna, there's a reason why it's happening. It's God's will, and it's some good, absolutely good, will come out of this, what we look on as horrible, disheartening events. God knows what's going on. He's not surprised by anybody or anything. So pray as much as you can, all day long. Talk to God. He's there. Talking to God is prayer. You're showing him how much you love him. That's praise and worship.
And you know, Matthew 6:31-33 says, do not worry. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. So I think that sums it up, right? He hears us for sure.
And prayer is about persevering as well. Mm-hmm. So we've seen how Pastors Gene and Donna have been persevering over these past several weeks. And we're just so thankful for them. We're thankful to them for giving us this opportunity and privilege to stand in for them for this broadcast. And do continue to pray for them and pray for us.
Yeah.
And pray for the WCNO radio station. And with that, we're going
praise
to
God for all things, right?
Look forward to being with you at the prayer rally. And next week also, listen to us again on the broadcast. And until then, this is Coach Tony Bishop saying God bless you and Godspeed.
Yes, we'll see you Thursday. And if you ever have any questions, call us. Let's talk about it. Love to converse with you.
Yeah. And those who accepted Christ, please call in. We'd like to know that. We'd like to know that so we can support you.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of prophecy.